This is Pure Decking, show number 576 for Thursday, September the 5th, 1977. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and my faith in humanity has either been destroyed or confirmed, depending on how cynical I'm feeling for the day. Tonight, we have a madman. What is up, madman?
Hola. I'm finding out that the Illuminati may be real. Being taught this by a college professor.
The Illuminati was real. They were mostly a drinking club.
Oh, damn it. They seem even cooler now. I thought they were just trying to rule the world, but now they're trying to rule the world and get drunk?
No, they...
Fuck, I need to join them.
They were a group of philosophers opposed to the church. That's about it. Historically, when you look into it, that's all they really were.
I mean, man, if you're going to join a secret group, join the Order of the Silly Buggers.
Do they have to dress up as clowns? Because I'm opposed to dressing up as a clown.
No, they go around finding out who's got poor household income, and they leave large gifts of food.
Ah, cool.
That's a good one.
Yeah, they were a secretive group. They even had a female chapter.
And continuing that line, we have an RU.
Yes, and I'm infected with a childhood disease right now. Yippee fucking for me. Oh, I feel like shit.
You should stay away from childhood, then.
It sucks.
I just realized how that joke could have gone. I'm just going to apologize now.
That's why I pulled out.
Damn it, Arnie!
You were already in there? That's even worse, dude. I thought I was the only Catholic on the channel.
The rhythm of the night, madman.
Well, and who said IGN is dead?
I did.
Yeah, fair point.
And I know, because I got the shovel to prove it.
Ah, yes, I see. You also have a portable hole maker. Yeah.
On that one, let's cruise into the stories.
Sure. First one up, and this one was sent to me by RU. Note that. So when I post the show notes, you get credit. Let's see. The Internet Archive, this is from The Verge. The Internet Archive has just lost its appeal. What did I do? Hang on. I hit something. I did something. There we go. I don't know how I did that, but somehow I must have hit a gesture to just hide all my windows, you know, like the whole show desktop thing. I don't know how I did that. Which is annoying, because I didn't just misclick or something with the mouse. I just... Anyways. The Internet Archive has lost its appeal in a fight to lend out scanned ebooks without the approval of publishers. In decision on Wednesday, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that permitting the Internet Archive's digital library would, quote, allow for wide-scale copying that deprives creators of compensation and diminishes the incentive to produce new works, unquote. I mean, damn. The decision is Go ahead.
I know writers that don't sell well, and it doesn't diminish their passion for writing.
Well, so. I mean, I believe in capitalism, so I can't disagree with the whole compensation thing. But I also thought the majority of what they were lending out was stuff that was mostly pretty aged. I don't think they were lending out much new stuff. The decision is another blow to the nonprofit in the Hachette versus Internet Archive case. In 2020, four major publishers, Hachette, Penguin Random House, Wiley, and HarperCollins, sued Internet Archive over claims its digital library constitutes willful digital piracy on an industrial scale. The Internet Archive has long offered a system called the Open Library, where users can check out digital scans of physical books. The library was based on a principle called controlled digital lending, where each loan corresponds to a physically published book held in a library, avoiding, in theory, a piracy claim. It's a fundamentally different system from programs like Overdrive, where publishers sell limited-time licenses to ebooks on their own terms. However, the Internet Archive expanded its library project during the COVID-19 pandemic. It launched the National Emergency Library, allowing an unlimited number of people to access the same copies of ebooks. That's when publishers banded together and filed the lawsuit, targeting both online libraries. The Second Circuit Court's decision acknowledges the benefits and drawbacks of the Internet Archive's digital library in its decision, but it ultimately sided with publishers. Quote, on one hand, ebook licensing fees may impose a burden on libraries and reduce access to creative work. On the other hand, authors have a right to be compensated in connection with the copying and distribution of their original creations. Congress balances these, quote, competing claims upon the public interest, unquote, in the Copyright Act. We must uphold that balance here, unquote. Well, I thought the whole point of the emergency library was they were like getting a hold of other libraries and getting permission to use their books for this.
According to the article you just read, they were sending out multiple copies of the same book.
Yeah.
So they might have one copy of Catcher in the Rye, but instead of handing out one digital copy of Catcher in the Rye, they handed out 2 or 12 or how many ever they sent out.
Pretty
That's
sure
where they were running afoul.
Catcher in the Rye is probably public domain.
Public domain. Yeah. That was just the first book that came to mind. Pick one that's not public domain.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I just I can't help it.
I know.
Yeah, last year a federal judge ruled the Internet Archive doesn't have a right to scan and lend out books the same way a library would. The Internet Archive later appealed that decision. Quote, we are disappointed in today's opinion about the Internet Archive's digital lending of books that are available electronically elsewhere. Chris Friedland, director of the Library Services at the Internet Archive, writes in a post on the site, quote, we are reviewing the court's opinion and will continue to defend the rights of libraries to own, lend, and preserve books, unquote. Friedland also points to a petition you can sign to restore access to the 500,000 books that publishers restricted access to. And, of course, they've got the full 64-page legal document here. So you can peruse that if you want on The Verge. But it right now it sure looks like they're going to win on this one. The concern I have, and the reason I was following this, is I want to make sure I phrase this correctly. That's why I don't like the idea of a publisher or, well, a seller in general having a say over what I do with their product after they've sold it to me. So if I'm a library and I buy books, I should be able to lend those books out. Now, I don't think this article covered the Internet Archive's argument correctly, because I thought they had made agreements with other libraries to cover the amount of lending they were doing. Now, maybe I'm misremembering an article.
That's what I thought as well.
You know, maybe I'm misremembering an article, because you're right, Madman. They just said, well, an unlimited number in this article. I just don't know if this author, this Emma Roth, who wrote this article, has just missed that point, or if I'm misremembering something in the past. But this kind of sounds like publishers are able to tell Internet Archive, well, you're not really a library, so you don't get to do this. And I don't like that, because I feel like once I've purchased an object, it's mine, and the person who sold it to me doesn't have much say over what I do with it. And so if Internet Archive had built out a library, and now they've had that shut down as well as the emergency library, that's the publisher saying, yeah, we know you might have rights to what you've purchased, but we don't fucking care. You're not allowed to do it.
Well, at the end of the day, all they've done is made people go somewhere else to download their book for nothing.
I mean, yo-ho, but...
I'm just saying, there's plenty of ways to get ebooks online without paying a red cent.
Yeah, you get a library card.
Yeah, you can do that.
Well, okay. But what's to stop a publisher from going after more traditional libraries?
You could be in a group of people that may all have the exact same Kindle account.
Yeah. My response to that one is libraries only hand out one copy of the book that they have on the ones that just do their own digital, and others actually go through a publisher's app and just have licenses for each app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the two ways that prevent publishers from going after libraries. They're more meticulous with their bookkeeping, hopefully.
I don't know.
I'll say it's possible that a library could accidentally send out more digital copies than they have, but you'd have to prove it. And unlike Internet Archive, libraries have a lot of public support. So,
yeah, good luck.
They're going to have a PR nightmare going after insert name of public library here.
I'm trying to find now, because I could have sworn that they had agreements with other libraries.
I think it was about 3-4 weeks ago we did this story, and this is the follow-up to it.
One issue I have is them not referring to the Internet Archive as a library.
Because it absolutely
because
is.
It is.
It's public funds doesn't make a library. There are hundreds of thousands of private libraries. Some of them will lend certain people their books. But those are still libraries, and they still have all the protections that any library has.
Okay, I found an article actually from 2020. This is from NPR. It's difficult to replace the services offered by your local library. It comes to keeping bookshelf stocks digitally. The Internet Archive is making it, you know, okay. The nonprofit group, which has made some 4 million books available online for free, says it's suspending wait lists for the 1.4 million works in its lending library. The move expedites the borrowing process through the end of June for anybody who'd like one of the books. So they were still checking them out, but yeah, they basically suspended the wait list, so they did let multiple people check out the same book at the same time, quote unquote.
So can't they just go back to doing that? And it'd be fine.
They could, but they've already got the violation.
Yeah, the courts shut them down, basically.
Yeah, if I have already stolen your TV, I've already committed the crime.
Yeah, if you rob somebody, and even if you turn right around and hand them their money back, you can still be arrested and charged for it.
So, Internet Archive could theoretically do what you're saying they can do, are you? And they would be fine. But they still need to get through this legal battle. And my big problem with this legal battle isn't necessarily that it's happening. I think the fines are higher than they should be.
Where's the Electronic Freedom Foundation in all this? They should be lending support.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard much from them lately. I haven't seen much about them.
I wonder how much their support would be, because they would just be providing legal support. They wouldn't be helping with the fines, which is what's going to hurt Internet Archive.
No, I would have thought that they would have popped their head up, thrown out a press statement that this is bullshit.
Well, the thing is,
I understand, the Internet Archive is more of a for the love of it sort of thing, not for the money.
Oh, it absolutely is. But the problem is that the EFF, they still make sure they have a legal leg to stand on. And if Internet Archive really did just say, you know what, fuck waiting lists, everybody can check out as many copies of this book as they want.
No, I understand the lawsuit.
Yeah, they don't have a law to stand on.
I'm just saying, if they go, okay, yep, we've stopped that practice. Look, could you go a bit of leeway with the fines? Hey, it was a pandemic, and we're all in this together, right? You know, surely the Freedom Foundation go, yep, they don't have a legal leg to stand on, but come on, this is a labor of love.
That would be an amicus brief done after the guilty verdict and the fines have been levied. I don't know if they were suspending that in lieu of going through the appeals process. Because sometimes a trial judge will say, we're not going to actually impose anything until after you've exhausted your appeals.
Okay.
Especially on a nonprofit, because the fines that they could get, depending on how many books they're saying they've pirated, is enough to bankrupt them. There won't be a an internet archive.
No, like, I know, and it's already struggling now. Yeah, it's already struggling now. So this is a fake conclusion.
No, I think they have another appeal if the Supreme Court's willing to pick it up.
Okay. I would just think, you know, it's a non-for-profit. Did anybody really get hurt? No, it's a non-violent crime.
Well, it also, you know, depends on what the court wants to impose. Obviously, the publishers are after an injunction to make them stop, and they have stopped. You know, it could simply be a correct your behavior, and we'll call it even, or it could
let's
be
just
massive
hope it's
funds.
That.
Yeah. I suspect, though, given the nature of corporate lawyers and the fact that the Internet Archive is not very popular among the copyright circles, that they're going to go for bear. They're going to try to get it. They're going to try to knock it down.
Shut down. Yeah. That's so most unfortunate because I am there all the fucking time. I was there last night looking at home movies from the Vietnam era.
But it's ultimately going to be up to the judge and or a jury if they bring a sentencing jury in. So they usually don't in civil cases like this. Usually the judge just decides, but you can request a jury depending on the use of law. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know enough about it. So maybe not in this case. I don't know. But yeah, it'll really be up to whatever judge they're in front of when it comes down to determining punishment. And like you said, the judge may look at it and, you know, weigh the fact that it was a pandemic and what they were trying to do and, you know.
Well, that's
give them the $10 fine and a would you quit it kind of statement, you know.
I'd make the appeal to it like that, you know what I mean? Look, we were acting in the best faith we could. We got as much permission as we could. We just didn't forget, but, you know. Because they got no real leg to stand on after it, have they?
Not if they've done as they explained, or as we found in the article, where they just removed the wait lists and let multiple copies of the same digital book be checked out at the same time. Even though, let's be real, a digital copy is not checking a book in and out. There,
no, it's not. But
we all know what I mean.
Well, okay, we'll keep stay abreast of this story and
yep,
keep giving updates every time we get them.
Next one
I'll
up
keep an
is,
eye out for it.
Yep. Next one up is from Tech Dirt. Cops are starting to tow away Teslas to secure recordings captured by the car's cameras. This was written by Tim Cushing, and he wrote it in first person, so I'm going to try to correct it as I read it, but it was written in first person. So well, here's a not-so-fun twist on the search and seizure narrative. Car owners are being deprived of their vehicles just because cops think footage of a crime may have been captured by the car's onboard cameras. Tesla's vehicles carry more cameras than most, added to the cars as a way to protect owners, either by documenting their theft as it occurs or providing recordings of accidents. They become just another way for investigators to collect evidence in criminal cases. The car doesn't actually have to be involved in the criminal act. It just has to be within eyeshot, so to speak, of the criminal act. But being in the wrong place at the wrong time might mean drivers going without cars because the cops have decided the best way to secure this potential evidence is to take the car away from their driver. They are quoting Rachel Swan from the San Francisco Chronicle. A Canadian tourist was visiting Oakland recently when he had to talk someone out of taking his Tesla from a hotel parking lot. It's no thief. It was the Oakland police. Turns out the Tesla may have witnessed a homicide. In Oakland and beyond, police called to the crime scenes are increasingly looking for more than shell casings and fingerprints. They're scanning for Teslas parked nearby, hoping their unique outward-facing cameras capture key evidence. And the Chronicle has found they're even resorting to obtaining warrants to tow the cars to ensure they don't lose the video. So that's not ideal. And it's something that's happened at least 3 times the last 2 months in Oakland, California alone. The chances of a Tesla being near the scene of a crime are obviously lower than other vehicles at this point in time, but it's pretty much only Teslas carrying these cameras. That's going to change in the future, though. Consumer surveillance tech is a growth market. Other manufacturers are going to start doing the same thing, which will lead to similarly explosive growth in towing cars because they were near a crime. At least warrants appear to be involved at this point, which means there's a paper trail documenting law enforcement's seizure of the inanimate witness. Unfortunately, that's not going to mean much to car owners who may walk out of their house, business, or place of worship to discover the vehicle's gone. Even though this is handled about as well as it can be at this point in time, this kind of thing is only going to become more common. And inevitably, some cops are going to decide they don't have time to get a warrant, much less make a good faith effort to secure the recordings from the vehicle's owner before initiating a seizure. It's not that the author doesn't think investigators should have this option. It's that he thinks that it will become the default option rather than the last resort of the quoted law enforcement office, officials claim it is at the moment, especially as more automakers add this tech to their vehicles. This will escalate much more in the way geofence warrant unit usage has in the past decade, allowing investigators to format their investigative duties to third parties. So it's weird, right? Because if they're going to secure evidence by just taking your fucking car because you happen to be parked near a crime scene, you're kind of being deprived of your property without due process, for one. But two, I mean, I guess if a warrant's involved, it's somewhat due process. But for two, I don't think the Teslas actually store the video on board. They do have a hard drive. But I think they're uploading it to the cloud constantly, so it would make much more sense just to talk to the owner and get the video from them. But we're going to see
this. Yeah, but that doesn't inconvenience people enough.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, you're going to start seeing this shit more and more because, you know, like, people have, like, the doorbells and stuff like that. If it weren't that Ring hadn't already given the cops back doors, you think they wouldn't be knocking on doors and just seizing people's stuff to get the video?
Seizing the Ring would be an issue, but a copy of the video isn't an issue. I'm with you. They shouldn't have to take the car. They can just call Tesla and get a copy of the video.
Or just find the person driving the car and say, pull your phone app up. We need this video. Because 9 out of 10 people, if they say, hey, some dude was murdered by your car, can we have the video from your car, please? They're going to say, yeah, sure. Here you go. I mean, yeah, you might get that one dick who says, where's your warrant? And they'll call a judge and get a warrant. But I mean,
and that dick deserves to have his car towed. Just hand over the videotape.
I mean, if you know, especially if you're not involved. The video file. I mean,
I was going to say, what if it incriminates you in a crime?
In that case, shut your yap and get a lawyer.
And wait for them to get the warrant because
you want the paper trail at that point. At that point, you want the paper trail so your lawyer has something to work with. But you're right. You know, are you that you should be concerned about it incriminating you? It's like,
well, I'm just wondering how far back can they scan this footage?
I don't know.
And suddenly you start getting fucking tickets in the mail.
Usually it's the, here's the time of the,
I'd hope murder. That, man.
We need that.
Well,
I don't trust.
What I would be concerned about though is most people don't own their cars free and clear, especially when they're new, and most Teslas are fairly new. I mean, yeah, there's some on the road that are paid off, but given the speed of our legal system, well, I mean, you know, Madman, how you're still waiting on your property. How long's that been?
Yeah, it's been almost 2 years.
Do you think the bank's going to let you stop paying your car loan for 2 years because the cops have seized your car, even though you didn't do anything wrong?
Nope, but I also know the phrasing on most of those. If I needed a car, I'd stop making payments and say, you can seize it from where it is. Here's the location.
Oh, that'd be fun to watch.
And do the effect of deed in lieu with a car.
That'd be fun to watch.
And I'd even apologize to the banks, like, dude, I don't want to do this to you. But you're out of money, I'm out of car, and I need to get to work, and I don't want to ride the bus. So your payment's going to this next car I'm getting. Don't worry, I won't be financing it through you. I already know you want to turn me down.
That's funny. But I mean, that seems like that'd be a problem if they, you know, because I said they've already done it a couple of times where they've just taken the damn car.
I think it's going to be an issue right up till someone who can afford the lawyer to fight them bites them. Because it's going to be similar to eminent domain. It hurts poor people. Anyone capable of hiring a lawyer, they're not likely to eminent domain. Not eminent domain. Wrong word. It's a type of seizure. Civil forfeiture.
Civil.
Yeah. They're not likely to do civil forfeiture on people that are able to fight them. And that's sad. We have a two-tier system of government or justice, and it has nothing to do with anything the SJWs have to say. It has to do with can you afford a lawyer or not.
There? Huh. So I was looking at the... I was getting ready to talk about the next article, and they're making a Minecraft movie?
Already made it.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. Move on.
Fucking why? All right.
Because no one wanted it, and no one asked for it.
Oh, this Jack Black's in it. Year. Yeah, you're right.
Are we doing the Chase Bank story?
No, because the Chase Bank TikTok trick is just check fraud. I don't know what else to say about that.
There's no substance. I just wanted to mock them for doing it.
It's just check fraud.
A fucking retard would do that.
Yes, because we get all of our financial advice from TikTok. Yeah, that's a...
Where I get my advice.
Explains so much. Next article is actually from Windows Central. And it's just funny. let me just start reading the article here. While Microsoft decides whether it will make its controversial and privacy-riddled Windows recall feature in Windows 11 an opt-in experience or allow users to uninstall it, more trouble seems to be brewing in the AI world. Have you ever stumbled upon an ad on social media while browsing that features the item that you were searching for on the web or talking to somebody over a phone call? Turns out more to this than meets the eye. According to a new report by 404 Media, a marketing agency admitted it listens to voice data using its, quote, active listening, unquote, software via smartphone microphones. Consequently, it uses the data to channel the right Facebook and Google ads to customers. The agency reported it has access to more than 470 sources, including Microsoft's LinkedIn. The market agency has been wrapped up in this controversial situation since December of 2023. And now new details in a pitch deck reveal that Cox Media Group leverages AI capabilities to, quote, capture real-time intent data by listening to conversations using its active listening feature. The pitch deck further reveals a list featuring Facebook, Google, and Amazon as clients of its active listening services. According to 404 Media, Google has since removed the media group from its partners program. And it caused a ripple effect, prompting Meta to investigate and examine the agency's terms of service to determine whether it has been using users' data without their consent, breaching privacy partnership.
Of course they have.
According to the pitch deck, quote, advertisers can pair this voice data with behavioral data to target in-market consumers, unquote. Amazon refuted the claims that it's embroiled in the marketing agency's privacy fiasco and further stated that it doesn't intend to seek its services. The company warned it would take legal action if it discovered that one of its partners violated terms of service. In the since-deleted blog post by the marketing agency, so they had this in a blog post, quote, "We know what you're thinking. Is this even legal? It is legal for phones and devices to listen to you with a new app download or update prompts consumers with multi-page terms of use agreement. Somewhere in the fine print, active listening is often included," unquote. They're bragging about hiding it in the terms and conditions. They deleted it because people found it and were upset about it. Interestingly, the marketing agency claims the presence and use of listening software are often included somewhere in the fine print of the terms of the user agreement when downloading a new app or update. So... yeah, so that whole conspiracy theory that your phone's listening to you, turns out it's real.
My batting average is going up every fucking day, dude.
It's been 6 months. What's the difference between a conspiracy theory and reality?
Six months.
Yeah.
It's like, shit. I mean, they use a lot of other stuff, too, doing location correlation, because you notice every app under the fucking sun wants to use your location data. But, yep.
Yeah.
I'd tell you, Moops, just doing this show has absolutely reinforced my fucking hatred of phones.
What's hilarious is, after this, pull up Amazon's actual statement. I heard it earlier. It is so much, we didn't do it, but if we did, it's all their fault, and we're going to take care of it.
Everything that guy just said is bullshit.
And if it's not, we'll have him shot. But this affects not just your phone, it's your personal assistant, your Amazon speaker, all of that bullshit is listening to you.
If they got their
with
software
with the same company.
Hey, 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 it's just a glitch in the algorithm. Nothing nefarious to see here.
It's only so they can offer you products and services, Madman. Don't you want products and services? Don't you want to consume new product?
Get excited for next.
If they were better at the marketing, that wouldn't bother me. What bothers me isn't the, here's a new gadget you might like. I can say no to new gadgets. What pisses me off with this data selling and marketing is it's not just, here's a new restaurant in your area that your searches say you will like, or here's the newest video game in the genres that you play, or here's a book from whatever author you like. They also cater the news feeds that you get, and that's bad. And if oftentimes, they're only feeding...
You know, oh, go ahead.
That if they're only feeding you what they already want, what you think you already want to see just to keep you online, you're going to be in a silo, and I don't care how wrong the other side is, sometimes they have a point even if they're wrong on how they want to get there. And you need to hear this, not only because it widens your horizon, but it also gives you arguments. And sometimes you need to reevaluate what you're thinking, and right now, with this whole feeding you shit, that's not likely to happen. And that's bad.
Oh, Madman, guess who's coming back to CNN?
Oh, Tubin?
Ryan Stelter.
Tubin's already back.
That little bald-headed goblin.
Tubin's already back.
Wow. Yeah, so everything Madman said just right then.
Oh, remind
sometimes
me later,
listening
Madman,
to
I'll
the
show
other
you some.
Sometimes listening to the other side can make you laugh quite a lot and cringe. Cringe heavily.
Oh, well, the other thing I noticed was a lot of these, you know, quote unquote ads would show you ads for shit you just bought. So it's like, wait a minute. So that one was always kind of fun too. But yeah, there's a reason a lot of apps do not go on my phone. I've got people who send me Facebook and TikTok links all the time, and I'm just like, sorry, they don't work. And it's like, what do you mean they don't work? Yeah, I click the link. It says you have to install the app. Well, install the app. Fuck no. If nothing else, I don't want it running my damn battery down.
That's it.
Dead serious. It was a Galaxy Note, not 7, 8. It was a Galaxy Note 8. When I first got it, its battery only lasted 3 hours. And I went in and looked, and it was Facebook, TikTok, and I want to say Snapchat were just going constantly in the background on a new fucking phone. Things I had not signed into on this phone. They were just on the phone by default. Oh, and Samsung had some apps in the background that were just sucking down battery. So I went in and turned on the debug and used the ADB and just started disabling packages. And by the time I was done cleaning up that Android image, that phone's battery would make it almost 2 days.
Oh.
And it was just, basically, it was mostly Facebook, but it was just this shit running in the background constantly, just running your damn battery down. I mean, none of my devices, I don't let apps sit open in the background. I don't like it. I don't believe in it. I want to close them out. And then the phone makes that hard. The phone wants you to just leave it suspended in the background. Fuck that noise. I actively go through and close all my apps almost every time because I don't like leaving them going because I don't know what they're doing. And I don't like that. So, yeah.
Outside of banking, I don't see why anyone would think there's an advantage to an app. Just a browser and go to their site.
Yeah.
The advantage is they get to collect information off your phone. That's it.
I meant for May.
Yeah, there isn't one.
And the only reason I'm conceding banking is I think they might be able to make their app more secure than my generic browser.
It's not.
That's it.
It's using the exact same protocols your browser's using. But
don't make me sad.
They're using, well, honestly, modern SSL is pretty damn good. Like, seriously, TLS v3 or 1.3, it's state-of-the-art encryption. It's good shit. Short of getting the keys or, man in the middle, you can't man in the middle it without having the keys. You can't. You can't crack the encryption like the early stuff.
Okay.
The actual proper TLS in your browser, and if you ever want to check, just go click the little lock next to your URL, show your information, and it'll show you the version of TLS you're using. If you're using TLS 1.3, preferably with a, most of them are going to be using 128-bit key, 256 would be better, but can that be broken by a government agency? Yes. Are they going to break it in an amount of time where it will be useful to them? No. And they have to capture the packets to do it. So unless they're already monitoring you, they're probably not going to be able to break that connection. So honestly, TLS 1.3, it's fine right now. Some of the earlier versions of SSL, yeah, there are problems with. So if you go in, if you've got a website you're really not sure on and it's sketch and you go to look and it's like it's using, SSL v3, not TLS 1.3, but SSL v3, don't trust that shit. Don't trust anything like that. But your app, your bank's apps, yeah, they're absolutely using TLS 1.3 in the background because why wouldn't you? It's good. But the mobile apps do a good job of doing secure enclaves, make a carved out section of memory and storage on the phone that's separate from other things. They do a good job of that data isolation. That's one of the reasons why on a previous show I've said if you want to do banking, the apps are the better way to go. Because like I said, they're better at isolating on the mobile devices, but it's not the TLS, it's not the encryption. It's the way those environments are set up. And, usually the phone's going to have a biometric so you can do two-factor a little bit more effectively. Whether it's your thumbprint or your face or, whatever they've added to quick unlock your phone. I guess Windows has that with Windows Hello, but I don't think anybody actually uses Windows Hello.
I've gotten to the point I don't like any of your extra services because I don't know what else is going to turn on.
Well, that's fair. Speaking of, next article is from The Verge. Get this pasted in here. And here. Microsoft says its recall uninstall option in Windows 11 is a bug. So right now, Windows Recall shows up as a feature you can turn off in Windows if you go into the Windows features in the control panel. Most people never go in there because it's usually kind of esoteric stuff you're turning off and on in there. You need a lot of that stuff for like companies and things like that, or if you're doing actual sysadmin work. So you can turn those things on. But these days, if you try to use one of these things and they're not in place, Windows will prompt you, do you want to enable the feature? And a lot of times, since you normally use them in businesses, they'll already have them turned on via group policy anyways, or in your stock image. But in this case, they've got Windows Recall listed in there, and Microsoft is saying, whoops, that's not supposed to be in there. So it's no, you cannot uninstall it. They're saying it's showing up in there as a bug. So while the latest update to Windows 11 makes it look like the upcoming recall feature can easily be removed by users, Microsoft tells us it's just a bug and a fix is coming. Yeah, people are real excited for that fix. Desk monitor spotted the change last week in 24H2 version of Windows 11 with a knowledge base article there seemingly delivering the ability to uninstall recall from the Windows features section. Quote, we are aware of an issue where recall is incorrectly listed as an option under the Turn Windows Features On and Off dialog in the control panel, said Windows Senior Product Manager Brandon LeBlanc in a statement to The Verge, quote, this will be fixed in an upcoming update. The controversial recall AI feature, which creates screenshots of mostly everything you do or see on a computer, was originally supposed to debut with Copilot Plus PCs in June, Microsoft was forced to delay the feature after security researchers raised concerns. Microsoft says it remains on track to preview Recall with Windows Insiders on Copilot Plus PCs in October, after the company has had more time to make major changes to Recall. Security researchers initially found that Recall databases stored that store the snapshot of the computer every few seconds wasn't encrypted, and malware could potentially access the Recall feature. Microsoft is now making AI-powered feature an opt-in experience instead of on by default, encrypting the database and authenticating through Windows Hello. The Verge did ask Microsoft whether it will allow Windows users to fully uninstall Recall, as this appearance in the Windows feature list suggests, but the company has only confirmed it's just incorrectly listed for now. It's possible that Microsoft may need to add a Recall uninstall option to EU copies of Windows 11 to comply with the European Commission's Digital Markets Act. Microsoft has already added an uninstall option for Edge to European Economic Area countries, alongside the ability to remove Bing-powered web search in the start menu. So it might be advantageous the next time you set up a Windows 11 PC to lie about what country you're in and say you're in Britain or something so that it's still English, but you can, you know, start turning shit off. Because the EU is kind of forcing the issue, but they're only going to turn it on in the EU. So actually, there was something when you install Windows, I think it was Oceania or something like that, there was a region you could set where it wouldn't install a whole bunch of stuff because it was a market that they weren't supposed to do that.
Okay.
But yeah, so Microsoft apparently listed Recall as a feature in the, you know, thing that you could turn it off, and they're saying that's a bug. You're not going to be able to turn that off. No, we want that on.
Why are they evil?
Because
it's because I'm not a customer anymore.
Yeah. It's also because they have a near monopoly on the desktop PC market, and they're just assuming that they can do whatever the hell they want, and you're going to keep using Windows because what choice do you have? And given what software stack you need, it might not be that much of a choice. That said, more options are opening up, and the more they shitify Windows, the more they're going to encourage people to learn Linux or, more likely, live full-time on their phone.
That's actually what's going to happen to a lot of people.
I know several people who don't, you know, they, I gave my sister a 3D printer because she said she wanted to get into it. And I gave her a good one, but it's, you know, one I wasn't using anymore. And the first question, can I set it up on my phone or do I have to use a computer? I said, well, you got to use a computer to run the slicer. I'm not aware of one on the phone. And she was like, oh, she was not happy about that. Like, she has a laptop. I made sure she had a laptop, but she doesn't like using it. She just wants to use her phone.
And the only people I know that use computers outside of their work are gamers, and more people are gaming on their phone.
Or console. So. Yep. Next one is from PCGamer.com. Speaking of gamers, this is just funny. Bethesda has banned a Doom mod. Bethesda has removed the Doom mod Thatcher's Tech Base from its certified mods listing, apparently following a complaint from a user or users about the mod's subject matter being political. Thatcher's Tech Base is around attacking the hellish alt-universe lair of former UK Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, who was in office from 1979 to 1990 and died in 2013, but now has been resurrected in the 10th Circle of Hell, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Thatcher's tech base has been around for years, but the problem is Bethesda's recent re-release of a definitive bundle of Doom 1 and 2, which incorporates a boatload of new features and official map packs alongside tools that allow modders to easily share their work in-game. This created a kind of semi-official status for popular mods, which are now being distributed directly through Bethesda's game, and it turns out that this might be an issue when said mod allows you to piss on the grave of a dead politician. Thatcher's tech base was created by Jim Purvis, who, on the release of the new Doom bundle, was delighted that the mod would be for the first time available outside of the PC, or outside of PC, and the in-game mod support extends to console versions, as well as part of the official mod collection. It lasted a scant few weeks. Quote, bad news, everyone, Purvis wrote on August 30th, sharing a screenshot of the message received from Bethesda's customer support. Quote, the creation of Thatcher's tech base has been reported for real-world politics and has been removed, unquote, reads the message from Bethesda. Quote, as a result, this account is receiving an official education notice. An education notice certainly sounds like a dystopian euphemism, but in this case, it just the message just goes on to point on various Bethesda guides about mod content. Thatcher's tech base is still easily available from the mod site, and while at least one enterprising user has already re-uploaded a version of the official Doom mod catalog, but the author imagines that whatever your stance is, the prospects of seeing the official mod list is not great. The most curious thing about this is the reference to real-world politics. The map pack is basically a Doom campaign featuring locations like House's Parliament and the weapons of the Trident, like the Trident launcher, the UK's nuclear deterrent, first announced in 1980 by the Thatcher government. But it's also an absurdist hellscape ruled, you know, stuffed with demons and respawning Tories. The author doesn't think anyone is going to confuse this with anything that's actually happened in UK politics ever. Well, I don't know. There's a 2-drink minimum in Parliament. Like, I mean, I could see them summoning demons in there. I suppose it's hard to deny the mod is political in the sense of being anti-Thatcher, but even if it's a surrealist project, that could only be classified as satire. Whether Bethesda really wants to get in the business of playing whack-a-mole with any mod that has aesthetic links to real-world people or politics is another matter. As Mecha Thatcher shows, the monster can be surprisingly resilient. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously, Margaret Thatcher's been dead for a long time.
It's obviously satire.
Yeah, it's obviously satire, right? So, I mean, it's not like you've made the mod where you're, you know, I don't know, pick real-world politicians shooting bad guys who look like, quote, you know, real-world politicians of the other party, right? It's obviously a gag, but at the same time,
it's a gag where the politician they're making fun of has been out of politics
for 30
forever.
Years. Yeah.
This isn't somebody saying we're going to be beheading the current president or something like that.
But we were saying earlier it'd be nice for video, you know, for game makers to stay out of politics. So I get it.
Yeah. But I'm also not sure how much this is getting into politics.
It's really not, because I think it's just her photo slapped on shit and some things that, you know, were kind of racy as far as like, oh, it's the House of Parliament. But
her nickname was the Iron Lady. I don't think she's going to get butthurt about her likeness in a video game.
If anything, she'd probably think it's funny.
If anything, she's going, I'm living rent-free in your head from beyond the grave. Eat shit. You know? She never struck me as a woman who cared what people thought about her. I mean, go look at the politics of the day when she was elected. Holy shit, man. She got the name of the Iron Lady for a reason.
Well,
she's hot as fuck.
And on top of that, if you want to talk about offensive Doom mods, this one's pretty tame. There's some, if you go hunting for it, there's some pretty amazing ones.
Amazing, we do mean horrible, and we're not suggesting you play them.
Oh, no.
And if you have the original Doom on Steam, you might want to go check it, because you just got updated with all that, what he just read out, plus more.
Oh, yeah. So,
I just checked mine. It's a little updated now.
Yeah, it is. But the nice thing about that, about what they've done with it, oh, my update is queued. But if you browse the local files on it, you can dig in and find the original WAD files. They're going to be in the base folder. Yeah, there's all the WADs. So you can pull the WAD files out and then go use, you know, whatever source port of Doom you want, you know.
Yeah.
Z Doom or whatever. What's the one I was playing with? Oh, I had one that where they had hacked in RTX into it. It was kind of fun. GZ Doom is the one I was thinking of. I had another one I was messing with and I can't find it. PR Boom, is that it? Yeah, I think that was it. But anyways, there's lots of, you know, Doom engines out there, but like GZ Doom's an easy one to start with. And, you know, yeah. So if you want, you know, you can still buy it on Steam and just go pull the WAD files out and go stick them in whatever Doom engine you want and get away from Bethesda's bullshit. So if you want to play a mod that's, you know, on the naughty list, and there are mods that definitely should be on the naughty list. I mean, H-Doom, excuse me. Yeah, anyways, you know, you want to play one of those, or I forget what the one was called where they were, somebody had put that map together when it was the Christopher Dorner story was big, because you sent it to me, are you? I played it for a little bit. Yeah. It was hilarious. It was terrible, yeah, Dorner, but it was hilarious.
I mean, Doom's such an old game. Like, graphically, it doesn't really... Yeah.
Well, it's been around long enough, too, that it's actually... You know, we were talking about it earlier. It's easy to mod. There's lots of tools out there to do it. I just don't remember because it's been 20 years since I've messed with modding.
Exactly. I mean, it still holds up pretty well for a 20-year-old game. And I think that's neat that they've done that for owners of the game.
There's
I mean, talk about caring.
Well, like,
they've updated all that for free.
Yeah. And... There's other games. I'm trying to remember. It seemed like such a goofy game, but when I got playing it, it actually was pretty good. It was made with the Doom engine. It was made with GZ Doom, but it was a new game. I think it started out as a Doom mod, though. And I'm forgetting the name of it. I was playing Head On. That was it. It totally, when you look at the preview for it, you wouldn't think it's that good of a game. It actually is.
Did you say Hexen?
No, Head On. H-E-D-O-N, Hedden.
Okay, I'll go look for that.
Yeah, because the main character is like some, you know, big orc girl, but when you get into it, it's actually a pretty decent Doom game. Just with, you know, medieval weaponry, spells and shit.
Yeah.
So it kind of has a Hexen vibe to it. And, you know, some of the characters look like they're right out of somebody's DeviantArt pages, but some of them actually look decent, and like I said, the gameplay was actually really good. And then you flip in Doom Engine, right? So,
yeah,
you know, hell, I'd be all about more games coming out on some of the old, you know, Doom and Quake engines, because why the hell not? They open source, still use them.
Face it, you can't do any worse with what they're pumping out right now.
Well,
people are rejecting that shit left, right, and center.
Well, and two, think about this though. If you go make a badass Doom mod and, you know, grab the version of GZ Doom and just make it, you think what you could make for the time you put in there versus what it would take to make something in Unreal today. And I don't mean by buying assets in their store and slapping something together. I mean, like, actually making something from scratch, doing your own art, scripting it out. You know, you use Unreal, you know, the modern Unreal, or what's the other one? I'm blanking on the name of it, which is funny because we talked about it not that long ago because they were doing really dumb stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm a blank too, man.
Crap, I can't think what the other engine's called right now. It'll come to me. Doesn't matter. But, anyways, you could, you know, mess with that, or go grab Doom and make a Doom mod. Put the same amount of time into Doom as you do in that, you probably churn out 20 maps and levels versus, you know, what you can do in, you know, Unreal, because it's a much more complicated engine. Now, is the, you know, using a modern Unreal engine, are you going to make something that looks better and, you know, a lot more creature comforts and maybe even plays a little better? Yeah, probably. But just think how much more you'll get out, you know, with the, at least like prototype it in the Doom engine, because you could just churn it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I think people should be doing that more. Maybe it's just me.
The retro look is a thing.
It absolutely is a thing. But anyways, let's do this. That is the wrong button. Hadouken! So this is called GP2040 CE, and what this is a custom firmware for the RP2040 boards, and they support several different ones, that let you use, you don't have to, you're not doing any programming with it, really. You do some configuration. You load the firmware onto the, you load the firmware onto the RP2040. It has a web server on it, so you could actually configure, I guess I should explain what it's for. It's for making your own custom gamepad with a Pi Pico board or anything that's got a RP2040 chip on it. And because it gives you a USB port, you can make gamepads with this thing that are PC, PS3, 4, 5, Switch, Xbox, Steam Deck, Mr. Android. Basically anything that takes X input, you can use one of these to make your own game controllers with an art with the little Pi Pico. And you know, they've actually got the web server built into it for configuring it, so you can go through and, you know, like do macros and different configs and all that shit. So, you know, depending on how crazy you want to get building your own game controller, especially if you're, you know, into electronics a little bit, because it's just buttons and, you know, building up your own custom enclosure and after some manner. Which, you know, due to previous agreement, I won't really mention. This is a great project, so I thought I would throw it out there. If you want to make your own arcade stick out of an a Pi Pico board, this is the firmware you want to use. So, I thought it was cool. That's all I got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream where I was working on Pure Deck every Thursday, Galaxy 15 radio site, the BBS. Madman, closing thoughts.
I want to play Castle Crashers now.
That was a good game. Are you? Closing thoughts.
I don't have anything. I had something, and then this news story I just started reading just blanked my mind completely.
Fair enough.
I mean, how do you not know the difference between the spleen and the liver when you're operating on someone? Big differences.
Didn't do very good in anatomy and physiology, so why are you a doctor? Kind of a why are you a doctor question.
Well, it does, you know, it does bring to mind the old joke. What do you call somebody who got all D's in medical school? Doctor.
Oh, doctor.
Doctor.
God damn.
And doctor. All right, that's all I got. Buttons.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
Hand grenades, very important. If you use hand grenades, please use vegan grenades. No animal should have to give their life for all this mayhem and chaos. They have a special sticker on them. You really can't miss them in the...
Get over it, whore.